The Blackshaw Arts Hour on Wandsworth Radio, where you listen with your ears and not your mouth.
You're listening to the Blackshaw Arts Hour. You've got me in the studio and also Matt Boothman.
Evening.
And Andy is here as well.
Hello.
Andy is back after... When was the last time you were on the show?
I think it might have been the 50th.
Really?
I think it might have been that, yeah. It was,
wow.
Yeah.
That was ages ago.
It was a long time ago.
Well, Andy's here this evening to talk to us a little bit about something that we're doing that's coming up in May for Blackshaw. And we were talking about it last week, I think, where we've met.
Yeah, or last fortnight or whatever it is. Whatever
yeah, the interval last is. Show. Yeah. The last show we were talking about what Andy's going to be doing in May. And what is that, Andy?
Well, it's going to be a live radio play recording as part of the Wandsworth Arts Fringe. Is it Fringe now? Wandsworth Arts Fringe.
It is.
We're going to be doing W-A-F. That, yes, at the Putney Arts Theatre. That should be pretty exciting, to be honest. So it's going to be me on stage doing a load of Foley, live sound effects, and actors reading out a script.
A script which you've not read yet?
Not yet, no. I have a vague understanding. I think it's a Victorian murder mystery that involves a zoo. That's about the extent of my knowledge of exactly.
I've been promised a hippo.
I've been promised a hippo too, and I'm worried. I haven't quite yet figured out how... I don't actually know what noise a hippo makes to start with.
I think it's quite clumpy.
The feet I can probably handle, but the vocalisations of a hippo, I'm struggling to be honest.
Yeah, I couldn't even tell you the noise that animal makes. Good luck with that.
Some research for me.
Before
May. I'll get
just
that sorted.
Googling or like YouTubing videos of hippo noises. Yeah. That's your life now until May, probably.
Can't wait.
Yeah. And I guess it's not that bad that you haven't seen a script, because it is March and you've got time.
Yeah, that's 2 months. It's two whole months away.
2 whole months. It's going to be fine.
Yeah.
So we're going to talk to Andy more about the noises that he's going to be making, which sounds really funny. And we might do some challenges, Matt. We were thinking of what we could, or maybe challenges more for the listener, I suppose, because we're going to get Andy to make some noises and try and get people to guess what he's doing, which I think is that's the plan as it stands.
It should be obvious what the noise is representing, what it should be. And the challenge is, can you work out how Andy is creating that sound?
Because that's really the art, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
What was that you gave an example of something before that you made a noise with for another audio
One of my favourite weird little pieces of Foley equipment. I don't know what you'd call it, a prop. Yeah, I used them. It was a miniature Christmas tree, a miniature fake Christmas tree that lying around the house. I used it to create footsteps on dry grass. Like scrunching it.
It's very, very
bristly noise. It sounded really good.
Yeah.
I was pretty impressed with that, to be honest.
Very innovative.
Yeah.
Well done.
Thank you.
We're going to be talking about all that kind of stuff with Andy as the show goes on. We're also going to play some new writing, which is the exciting new writing piece that won our most recent Showcase Award. So stay tuned for that. But the first thing that we're going to do is this thing.
The Matt Boothman Film Review. So good, I put my trousers back on.
Matt, what film are you doing this week?
Hidden Figures.
Did you take a poll for this one?
I did a quick one just because I saw it and I had picked it as the review, and then Moonlight won Best Picture at the Oscars.
Yes, and if you missed that whole scenario, then you've not been on the internet for the last 3 weeks.
Yep, let's not use that as an excuse not to talk about Moonlight.
Yeah,
let's not mention the other film. it's got enough unnecessary publicity from that event already.
Oh, definitely.
So I put out a quick poll just to see if people would like, since Moonlight got the big award, whether they'd rather I talk about that. And it was kind of 50-50, so I think I'm going to talk about Hidden Figures, we can talk a bit about Moonlight, and we can maybe segue into some general Oscar chat.
Yep, I'm pretty excited to talk about that. So,
cool.
Yeah. Let's do Hidden Figures first, though.
Okay. So what do you guys know about it? Do you know the premise?
Yeah, I know the vague premise.
Yeah. You see any trailers?
True to form, I know absolutely nothing about
it. Perfect. Okay, so Hidden Figures is a biopic, a dramatization of the lives of three important but generally historically overlooked African American women and their role in the space program.
Mm-hmm.
Around the time before anybody was getting to the moon, but when Russia and the US were racing to get like a human into space.
Sure.
So these three women, Catherine Goebel, better known now as Catherine Johnson, played by Taraji P. Henson.
Mm-hmm.
Janelle Monáe, your ears pricked up when I mentioned her name last week.
Yes, I remember that. It's all coming back to me.
Yeah, she plays Mary Jackson, who was works in engineering, but like her goal throughout the film is to become recognised as a proper engineer,
mm-hmm.
And qualified. And Dorothy Vaughan, played by Octavia Spencer, who is kind of she's the de facto supervisor of the sort of the mathematicians mm-hmm. in the program, and is kind of fighting to get recognised for that.
Okay.
And so it's all about, on one level, it's a movie about the space race and sort of the important roles that people play in that. But of course, it's a movie about prejudice and discrimination. All three women they face sexism, they face racial prejudice. This is a US that still has segregation in a lot of places, even though the civil rights movement has started. We get footage of Martin Luther King.
Mm-hmm.
We get the Brown versus Board of Education court case has happened, so schools are technically not allowed to be segregated anymore, but a lot of them still are, mm-hmm. especially in the state where NASA is based. So it's about these three brilliant women who are all mathematicians. They're part of the computing pool. So the word computer used to refer to a person, usually a woman, with a calculating machine, rather than a machine.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
So if you were somebody whose job it was to do calculations, your job title was computer. And so it's all about the computer pool. So there's a white computing pool and a black computing pool.
Mm-hmm.
So it's about them. It's about trying to get the space program off the ground. In a program that is kind of hampering itself through all that discrimination.
Okay.
It focuses on these three, and they all have their particular areas of expertise that they're trying to get to. So Catherine is sort of the first African American person, and in fact, I think the first woman in like the main NASA working group that's trying to do the calculations to make sure that they can get an astronaut into space and bring him back.
Mm-hmm. Important.
Very important. Mary Jackson is working on like the module itself and the materials, making sure that it is like durable enough to survive in space and all that kind of stuff. And Dorothy Vaughan ends up being one of the first people who really gets to grips with how to use what we now come to think of as a computer, like an early IBM thing, one of these things that takes up a whole room in the facility,
mm-hmm.
To get those calculations done fast enough to make space work.
Okay. I like that we're talking about space and I'm not like getting all like sort of anti this film.
Yeah.
Because I feel like it's not really...
It's about the backstage stuff of getting into space.
Yeah.
So it's about the fact that you need the maths to be right. You need the pieces of the ship itself to be right.
Mm-hmm.
You need all these calculations to have been run.
Sure.
So it's about orbital mechanics more than it's about actual space. And, of course, it's about prejudice and discrimination as well.
Yeah.
So
I do have a soft spot for orbital mechanics. So, you know, I feel like this is the film for me.
Yeah. So it's actually... I need to just double-check his name. It's actually directed by a white dude.
Okay.
Theodore Melfi. He's directed as Ted Melfi before.
Mm-hmm.
He's produced a bit more than he's directed. So it kind of had the potential to go wrong. So the way that it tackles the discrimination side of things is that it kind of acknowledges that ending prejudice and ending discrimination and ending racism requires some action on the part of the people perpetrating it. So mm-hmm. African American people can't end racism by themselves. They need white people to stop being racist.
Yeah.
And where a lot of films that tackle this kind of subject matter fall down is that they use that excuse to sort of lionize the white people who do the work to make that stop. Mm-hmm. I think obviously we're all white people in this room, so I'm going to acknowledge that I don't have an expert opinion on how well it works.
Yeah.
But what I felt like it was doing was it managed to not lionize the white characters. So Kevin Costner is the kind of the head mathematician, the head scientist, who has a lot of scenes with Taraji P. Henson's character. And so he has a big moment where he sort of he discovers that the reason that his top computer, Catherine Goebel as she was then, is absent from her desk for long periods when he needs her to be computing, is because she has to run a mile and a half to a different building to find a bathroom designated for African-American people.
Okay.
Because there isn't one in that building because they've never had somebody working in there before.
Mm-hmm.
So that's when he desegregates all the bathrooms at NASA.
Yes.
But it doesn't make him a hero for doing that because
it's just the right thing to do.
Well, it's the right thing to do, but it doesn't shy away from the fact that he only does it and only notices that it's a problem
when it
starts getting in his way and getting in the way of his calculations getting done. So, mm-hmm. like, he didn't look at this situation and go, that's just wrong, I'm going to desegregate the bathrooms. He went, I need my computer at her desk more, I'm going to desegregate the bathrooms.
He's acting less like an activist and more like a manager who needs a job done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But sort of coming from that, the way the movie kind of tackles discrimination is by treating it as ridiculous and irrational as it is.
Mm-hmm.
So actually the scenes of her running backwards and forwards a mile and a half across campus to find a bathroom, all the while trying to continue doing her calculations on the files, you know, big stack of files in her arms, are treated as kind of, they're shot kind of as comedic.
Sure.
And there's the soundtrack, the score on it is kind of lighthearted and almost kind of not quite romantic comedy, but like it would, that the score wouldn't be out of place in that kind of movie.
Yeah.
So rather than it sort of focusing on it's a difficult one. It's a difficult balance because it does it has to show the emotional effect on these characters of mm-hmm. being treated differently and not being allowed to reach the potential that all three of them obviously have. Like it's never in question that the three of them are geniuses.
Yeah.
But rather than treat it as this kind of great monstrosity that is kind of difficult to surmount, it treats it as something that's kind of absurd.
Mm-hmm.
So that it feels like it's just, it would be absolute common sense to end prejudice and discrimination.
And I guess absurd in the context of what these people are trying to achieve because they work at NASA.
Yeah.
You know, like this isn't just an office situation where they're in finance in a big city or something. You know, like they're playing with people's lives who have to go to space and that's got to work. So that's a huge contrast that makes even, you know, the small things of, you know, segregation of toilets seem even more absurd because it's like, just sort that out. Sort it out, and then you know, then you can tackle the really hard task of sending someone into space.
Yeah, just like let everybody do their jobs.
Yeah,
for goodness sake,
it's not hard.
Yeah, so it tackles it in kind of I can see why it didn't win big at the Oscars because it tackles it almost like a feel good movie.
Mm-hmm.
But so it uses a lot of those the tropes and the building blocks and the filmmaking techniques of. The kind of light-hearted, lightweight, feel-good movie kind of genre.
Yeah.
But it is kind of radical to apply those tropes to this subject matter because it's saying these women are allowed that happy ending and that sort of climactic moment of triumph in the third act just as much as anybody else.
Yeah. Is the climactic event, do they actually get someone into space?
They do.
Yay.
That's good. It's history. They got someone in space, they got him back.
I don't know the history behind it as much as I don't know the plot of the film, Matt. I think, you know, that was quite evident when we started this conversation.
Yeah, I mean, it's actually kind of low-key. Like, the Russians do beat them into space, as happened in history. Yuri Gagarin was the first human being in space.
Yeah.
It wasn't an American, but where the movie takes us to is the point where NASA is riding high enough to be the agency that took someone to the moon for the first time.
Yeah.
And it is all like they couldn't have done it without these hidden figures, these people who've been largely forgotten.
Someone really needs to get their pizza quickly tonight, it would appear. Let's just breeze past that one. Can we talk about performances?
Yeah. So it's the three of them are all very distinct and deal with the kind of the structural oppression that they face in very different ways. So Taraji P. Henson's character, Catherine, she's introverted. She is a mathematical genius. Like, she can do complex mathematical geometry stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But she's, you know, she's a nerd.
Yeah.
And her way of dealing with the situation she's in is basically to, like, keep her head down, kind of keep it inside. Like, she feels it all, and obviously this being this kind of movie, there is a moment where it all spills out, mm-hmm. but her general technique is like to keep it all inside and keep her head down, because she's feeling like there's not really anything that she can do to affect it.
Yeah. Okay.
And then you've got Mary Jackson, Janelle Monáe's character, who also has that kind of cynicism and that sense that that sense of futility slightly, but is not interested in making anybody feel comfortable about mm-hmm. the situation.
Yeah.
Like, she has a bad time because she's discriminated against, and she's not going to make anybody feel like that's the right thing, that they're like that's a normal thing.
Yeah.
Like, she is prickly and she gives everybody lip about it.
Mm-hmm. Is this the first performance that you've seen, like, movie that you've seen her in?
This is the first feature film I've seen her in, and she's actually in Moonlight as well, which I didn't realise until I saw it.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
She and Mahershala Ali are both in both.
Is Janelle good?
She's very good.
Sorry?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
I'm interested in her.
Yeah, because obviously I've seen her do, like, the big over-the-top stuff that she does in music videos, which, you know, her music videos are closer to cinema than a lot of people's.
Yes. Yeah.
But yeah, seeing her actually, like, play a real historical character is interesting, and I think she nails it.
Oh, good.
And Octavia Spencer, Dorothy Vaughan, is her take is she's the one who actually asks to be treated better.
Mm-hmm.
So she's doing the job of a supervisor, and she's the one who is actually persistently asking the white authority figures on the base, you know, I'm doing this work, I should have the job title and I should have the pay that go with it.
Yeah, yeah.
And always coming up against the barriers and the excuses that they lay down.
Okay. Did it win anything at the Oscars? I didn't remember.
I can't remember. I think it won some things. I can't remember what for. I'll look that up while we're
doing
playing something pre-recorded, and we'll chat about that.
Did you like it?
I liked it a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I think somebody asked me immediately after I saw it whether it was any good, and I think I said it's the funniest and most uplifting movie it's possible to make about racism and maths.
Yeah, that's a sentence right there.
Was that a tagline?
Yeah, that was the Guardian review. 4 stars.
Yeah, so it almost feels like it like with the subject matter, it shouldn't be. It shouldn't be a positive to say that it's funny and uplifting, but I think by saying like these women deserve to be recognised, to be remembered as triumphing and as having the happy ending, I think is important.
Yeah. Oh, cool. Shall we have a little bit of a chat and sort of move into Moonlight now?
Yeah, move into Moonlight and Oscars generally. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, there's not really much that we can say about the Oscars that hasn't already been said.
No, exactly.
I suppose.
The dust has settled.
Yeah, it was pretty extraordinary, I suppose.
Yeah.
But then the cynical part of me was like, I wonder if this was just a really big PR stunt, because I know that the Oscars viewing, you know, numbers have been dwindling over the last couple of years.
As far as anybody can tell from like the behind the scenes stories, no, it was a genuine mistake.
Genuine but, human error.
Yeah.
Which is a shame because I was like, I was kind of hoping for it to be a PR story.
But yeah, like I don't want to let that pull focus from Moonlight.
Yeah.
Because it won Best Picture and it deserved to.
Yeah, I think it was just a massive shame that it occurred.
Yeah.
And that it was just so awkward as well. Like, and that no one really, like, obviously that's a really hard thing to turn around, and logistically it would have been tough for anyone working on that, mm-hmm. you know, production, but at the same time, oh, good Lord. It was stressful just watching it on the internet the next day. I was like, I can't believe this is happening, and it's just so, everyone's so confused.
It was a beautiful picture, just some of the actors in the audience. Like yeah, all the film people just with their mouths completely wide open, just staring in shock.
I mean, at least we've got a whole bunch of really great memes out of it. It's very meme-worthy. But yeah, it was funny. So Moonlight, have you seen Andy?
Yes, I've seen it.
Oh, good work.
Thank you.
What do you think?
I've just loved it. Absolutely loved it, yeah. It's one of the few films that I've cried at, and I don't mind admitting that I cried at it. It was stunning, yeah. No,
it's
really
fine, Andy.
It.
We're all friends here.
Right. Yeah.
Matt talks about
it. I actually didn't at this one. But
what's happened to
I
you?
Yeah, I know. No, I feel like it's one I need to see again.
Yeah.
Because a lot is going on under the surface that I don't think you quite understand until it's over. And it ends in quite an abrupt fashion. Yeah. I don't think it's too much of a spoiler to say.
Mm.
So watching it again, knowing that's where it's going to end and that's going to be the emotional payoff would be interesting, I think. I mean, it's a film about hiding who you are and keeping a lot of things sort of below the surface, and the movie plays itself in that way as well. It's very, very understated.
Oh, yeah.
Interesting. I really want to see it. I don't know that much about it either, which
so
is
it's,
really
it's
bad.
Sort of in it's in three acts as this guy Chiron grows up in Miami, I want to say. And sort of discovers himself and discovers his sexuality, suffers for it, sort of changes himself because of it, and sort of at periods it jumps forward in time, and you get to kind of fill in the blanks of how he gets from the last scene you see of him as a child to the first scene of him as a teen, and the last scene of him as a teen to the first scene of him as an adult, and the changes that take place in those gaps, and trying to fill in how that has happened, because a lot of it is quite a dramatic change.
Yeah, it sounds really interesting. I want to see it, but I think I feel like this is a review for maybe another time, or maybe we should stop talking about film and move on to some other kind of art thing.
Sure.
But one question I do want to ask, were you surprised by any winners at the Oscars? Did anything stand out for you? Or did you find it to be quite a sort of normal,
I feel like,
normal run of the Oscars?
Right. I need to get the list in front of me. I feel like going down the list, there were one or two that I went, what?
Really?
Oh, there's a couple that, no, I don't know. I'll get it in front of me and then we'll talk about
it. I love asking you questions that you're not prepared for whatsoever. It's really what I'm really excellent at on this podcast. So while you look at that, we're going to play a piece of New Writing, which won the New Writing Night Showcase Award. It's called Mothman, and we're going to be developing it for the next year and then putting it on at the Pleasance as a industry showcase night next year in 2018.
Oof. So listen to this and then come see it in 2018.
Yeah,
and
it might have radically changed.
Yeah,
but
see how
they always do.
Yeah.
In the best possible way.
Well, Andy's great because Andy gets to see them from the very, very inception.
I see every iteration, yeah.
Yeah, and then you go and do the sound and all the other bits, behind the scenes bits for them. So this is called Mothman. It's been written by Nicole Locke, directed by Stephen Bailey. Dave/Mothman is played by Joseph Cullen, and Malcolm is played by Alex Maud.
Yes, all right, I will. Yeah, look, I've just got here, all right? Yep, so I'll see what's going on. Yes, I know that sounds odd, but you were the one who left. No, I didn't say that. You literally just... I'll call you later. Bitch.
I wouldn't do that if I were you.
Fucking hell! Just get the shit out of me. Where the hell are you?
Don't! No! Oh, turn it off! All right!
What the fuck?
I told you, I said no light. I told you, you didn't listen.
All right, I'm sorry. So, what's with the whole get-up there, Dave?
It is not a get-up. And I am no longer Dave. I have escaped my couple cocoon, and I shall now be known as Mothman.
Mothman?
Yes.
Seriously?
Yes.
Mothman.
Yes, fucking Mothman! What's so difficult to understand? I am a Mothman!
Okay, alright. I'm shocked is all. I mean, I know you're into bugs, but this is...
I am not really into bugs. I'm a scientist. A lepidopterist. How many times do I have to explain that to you? Well, that was until now. Now I am Mothman.
Oh, for fuck's sake, come out of there. You look ridiculous.
Leave me be. Mothman does not need thee.
Oh, great. So you're a rhyming moth now. Brilliant.
Come on, get out. No. I worked hard on that.
Come on, get that crap off you. I'm going to eat some food. It looks like you need it.
No. Many moths do not need to eat, and neither do I.
Right.
The lunar moth doesn't eat at all. It has no mouth.
They live for a week with the sole purpose of mating.
Yeah, sure. I can see the perks of that.
Very well. Now you may leave. And I shall rebuild.
No, wait. If you think I'm leaving you like this, then you really are mad. What are you wearing?
These are my wings. Now if you don't mind.
It's more like a load of crap to me.
Of course it would to you. It doesn't surprise me that you can't grasp the concept of mimicking.
Oh, is that so?
What I'm trying to do, little brother, is to mimic my surroundings in order to effectively camouflage myself.
Right, so basically stick crap on yourself because you're surrounded by crap.
Well, I wouldn't put it like that.
And what exactly are you hiding from? What, is Birdman popping by or something?
No, Jesus Christ.
Look, let me help you, all right? You're always shit at making dents. Though, yes. I don't suppose you've got enough need for that nowadays, eh? Dr. Dave?
Yes. In my previous life, you were always much better at these things.
You must have changed. The old you would never have admitted that. Or maybe it's all this beer.
What?
There must be at least 100 bottles in here.
I think nothing of it. Moths love a good micro-brew.
Bullshit!
They do.
Oh yeah, of course! I often see moths hanging out at the bar, getting rowdy, checking out the girl moths over a good micro-brew.
Idiot, they like the sugar.
Me, the idiot? You're the one in the fucking bug costume!
It's not a costume! Or...
Alright. Look, I'm sorry. I know you're going through a lot of shit right now. I mean, the way she left you out of the blue like that was brutal. But I always told you, she was a right bitch anyway.
Don't talk about her like that.
Dude, come on, she was a total cow. Looking down her nose at everyone who didn't go to a snobby uni or wasn't part of a snobby art society or baking a shitty cake for her snobby charity event.
Stop!
Jesus Christ, man. The bitch dumps you out of nowhere and you're still defending her. I bet you go crawling on right back to her. Yeah, if she was outside right now, I bet you go crawling right back.
Yeah, but she's not! Anyway, I would know if she was. I can smell a female from 7 miles away.
That is quite the talent, Mothman. Even that old lady down the hall.
Yes?
The one with the cats. The spaghetti noodles on her chin hair. What does she smell like?
Cat piss.
spare. What the fuck is that?
Pure moth DNA, collected from the 7 most superior breeds. I have been planning to do it later, but I don't know, with you here it just feels right.
Do what?
To make the transition final. To escape my cocoon life forever.
Wait a minute.
That's right. I shall inject myself and hopefully combine my DNA with that of a moth. Oh,
fucking hell.
It's okay, don't worry.
But you really think
I know what I'm doing. I need to do this.
Like hell you do. You're not in a fucking movie. You need a doctor.
As you keep reminding me, I am a doctor. Now hush. No, no, no! Why? Why would you do that? Me? You're the one that's trying to inject yourself with fucking bug DNA!
Moth! Fucking whatever!
You don't know what I had to do to get that!
What? Fucking jack off a load of moths? You need help, man! Jesus Christ, look, I am done with this bullshit. Look, I only came here to get your bitch of an ex off my back. What the fuck are you doing sending her weird voicemails anyway? She sends it on one of them. You asked to be her fur tussock, whatever the fuck that is. Some weird sex thing. And then I find you sitting here in the fucking dark with your weird fucking outfit, with your fucking moth juice. God, if only Mum was here, she wouldn't be so fucking proud of you now, would she? Fucking full-grown man rocking himself on the floor, building a fucking fortress in his living room, not even a good one! All this because you got dumped! Yeah, it sucks. But get over it, man! Go fuck someone! Go scrape your keys on her car! Do what everyone else has to do! Not fucking go psycho in your fucking beer-filled flat! Fucking pathetic! And you're meant to be the mature one, the one who has all of this shit together! What is this? What the fuck is this on the carpet? Did you pour fucking maple syrup on the carpet?
Melts like sugar!
What the fuck is wrong with you, Dave? You need to see a doctor, a real one, not some bug one. No more fucking bugs. I'm taking you to the doctor and that's what... What the fuck are you doing? Stop the... Shut up. Shut up!
I'm making you shut up! Mess up your sonar, then you'll go! You'll go!
Sonar?
Bat! You nasty bat! Fucking bat head coming here, not wanted, ruining everything! Ruining my place, my plans, my life!
You've done a good enough job of that on your own! Fuck this! No! No more fucking Mothman, do you hear? Look. Jesus Christ. Look. You've got to get a hold of yourself, all right? I'm sorry, but you're acting mad. There'll be others out there.
Not that.
Then what?
Fired.
What? Dave, talk to me, please.
She left because I got fired. You happy?
I don't understand.
They said I wasn't producing any groundbreaking research. I told them it takes time, we need the resources to find new species to build up data. The university weren't having any of it.
Fuck.
But then I came home. I told Lizzie. She broke it off with me then and there. She said she couldn't stay with me now that I'm broke as well as boring. Bitch. My life's just such a mess.
About all this?
I was alone, drunk, I don't know. I just started thinking about cocoons.
As you do.
It was then I realized
I'm still in my cocoon.
Okay.
When a caterpillar goes into a cocoon, it turns into this soupy mess before it turns into a moth. That's where I am. I'm a soupy bloody mess.
I can't argue with that, but it's okay.
It's not okay, look at me! Every transition.
It will be okay. I know this all sucks now. But you can't give up on everything. Let me help you out. We can sort out everything, talk to other universities, or find you a different job. In the meantime, we can go and chat to the doctor and you can come live with me. Get you there. After we clear up this maple syrup, that is. You don't need her. You don't need the university. You can do this. You can.
Okay.
Right. Now, do Motti pizza. Come
on. Let me just have a wash first.
Sex thing.
What?
A third tussock is a moth.
Should have known.
I wanted her to be my tussock moth. Because the females don't have wings. So she wouldn't be able to fly away from me.
Makes sense. But, you know, I think she was more of a butterfly. Pretty, but totally overrated. And just fucking annoying.
You were just listening to a piece of new writing called Mothman, which was the winner of our New Writing Night Showcase Award. And we just performed Karlik Oag recently, which was the previous winner of 2016's Showcase New Writing Award, which I actually can't believe I got that right.
Yeah. Nicely done.
But you,
the Gaelic pronunciation or the dates?
The dates and the pronunciation. Because Ellie, after we recorded the podcast 2 weeks ago, Ellie got me to read off of a piece of paper. If you've been on our Blackshaw YouTube or on our Facebook, you would have seen a link. She got me to read bits of Welsh. It was very hard.
Not Welsh.
No, it wasn't Welsh. Sorry.
It was Gaelic.
I get mixed up between Welsh and Gaelic. Oh, God, I'm going to have to cut that out to make myself sound like less of a dickhead. I wouldn't be able to read Welsh either. So, you know, it's much of a muchness. But, yeah, that was really hard. And I said, you know, I was like, I'm just going to do this in my Australian accent. And it did not come across very well. But do you want to tell us a little bit about the production, Andy? Because obviously you were there in your check box.
Yeah, of course. No, it was on Thursday night. So, but yeah, no, it was at the Pleasance. It went really a really solid performance. It was actually quite a quick turnover for that.
Yeah,
because it's a one night showcase, so there isn't a lot. You just don't have the time or resources to be able to put a lot of preparation into it.
Mm.
But the cast and the Mark as the director managed to pull it together, and it was a really impressive show. So yeah, it's about Karlik Oag, set in an Irish pub in the town of Ballybriacht. I think was the
Is that the correct pronunciation?
Yes, because I listened to Irish people say it for a long time.
Okay.
Actual Irish people have convinced me that's the pronunciation. I'm not sure if it's a real or fictional town, actually.
It isn't. I can confirm that it is not a real place.
Okay, that's good to know. Yeah, and so it's, the whole premise of the play is there's... so this pub's a bit under the weather, economically,
mm-hmm.
due to some gold mining exploits going on in the town, and... mysterious woman traveller wanders into this pub and claims she's Calic Og, this mother of mountains, this Irish folklore witch, essentially.
Okay.
So, yeah, and then the whole play was about whether she is a witch or the story in that. Yeah, it's...
Sounds good.
I don't really know how much I can talk about it, because what we're hoping is that it gets them picked up, like, really, because it was a really, really strong piece of writing, like Jerry Moynihan, the writer. His dialogue was fantastic, like, it was so natural, so really nicely flowed, and again, like, the work that Marcus, the director, and the cast put in was really definitely deserving of another run somewhere.
Yeah, and I guess that's what we're trying to do by putting on an industry showcase, is, you know...
That's the whole point,
getting people in to see something that's super new.
So we had some good industry people coming in. Again, I don't know how much of that's confidential, so I don't know who I can say came and
saw I think it. It's okay if you just say industry people, but don't
people
give names.
Industry people came to see it, and we're just waiting to hear back from a few of them, hopefully, to see if we can...
Yeah.
Yeah. Which if that gets taken up.
Top men. And women.
Yeah.
I heard that you made some, you were quite proud of some of the sound effects that you made for the show.
Oh yeah, well I'm always a little bit proud, so yeah. We had a really nice earthquake. Mm-hmm. So really, that sounds like quite a contradiction, but yeah, it's a good strong earthquake moment that I've had a few compliments about since.
Somebody come up to you after, somebody came up to the actors afterwards saying...
Yeah, one of the actors' mums said to her, it was like... How did you manage to get that glass to smash off stage during the earthquake? That was perfectly timed. I was like, yes, I've confused someone. That's all I ever aim for, is just confuse people as to what's real. If my tech does that, then I'm happy.
Can we have a go of confusing people now to do what you're going to do with that thing that's next to you? Which is really cryptic, but I think you catch my drift.
That's a nice segue there, but yes, we can.
Do I need to move? Am I going to catch the edge of it if I stay where I'm sitting?
Matt, you're giving it away.
Don't want you to lose an eye or anything.
So, Andy's going to prepare himself to make a noise. Are you going to tell us what the noise is that you're trying to create?
I'll tell you what, I'll make it, and if it sounds like the thing that it's supposed to sound like, then I'm nervous now. Yeah, I think this is essentially the sort of thing I'm going to be doing during the May piece, the piece in May we're doing, the live radio show recording, radio play recording.
Which I'll give you all the details about after we've done this fantastic noise.
Where I'll be doing some live Foley on stage, such as...
That was good.
I mean, I don't know.
I mean, I'm not listening to headphones.
Yeah, again, that's the thing. Shall I try it once more?
One more time. I'm going to stand up. I think you need a little bit more body movement. That was much better. That was very good. I could tell what that was, even without... I mean, I know what it was.
But which was it? I mean, can you tell...
What noise you were trying to create.
Okay, yes. So, yeah, that's what I'm aiming for.
Yeah, it was like... It was a dove flying away from someone's hand, right?
I hope so.
I went quite specific
that's
with that.
Very specific. That's exactly what I was going for.
Yeah, you can't... Obviously, you at home can't see the studio, but we have gone full John Woo. And we are all walking out of flaming doorways with a dove flying away in the background.
Is that a magic joke?
What? No, it's a John Woo joke.
I don't know who that is.
Oh, okay. It's a film thing.
Oh, okay. That's why I don't get it, obviously. But no, that was very good, Andy. I really appreciated you doing that. So, if you want to come and see Andy do more of that, and I guess like the setup's going to be, you're going to have like a table with a whole bunch of stuff on it?
That's what is I'm that planning on the doing, plan? Yeah. A table with a whole bunch of stuff and microphones everywhere.
Yeah.
Possibly even an assistant.
I really need an assistant. So any volunteers, much appreciated.
I think you might have to fight one Dave Turnbull for that assistant role, okay. Because that might already have been given away to someone.
So we've talked loads about this and not actually said the name of the show.
Yes, and I'm going to tell you what it is now, because otherwise it's just very confusing for people, because they're listening to dove noises and us talking nonsense. So what is happening on the 13th of May is called Some Treachery, a Miss McSkimming Mystery, and a live radio show production, I suppose. I'm going to read you what... So it's been written by Richard Stratton. He, if you came along to our previous production of Alice in Wonderland, it's going to be similar kind of to that, because he wrote that also. But obviously not Alice in Wonderland. So this is the summary of the show. It is a radio play recorded in front of a live audience... brackets, hilarious sound effects included, close brackets, Andy. What at first seems like a trivial case soon reveals a plot that could shake the very foundations of the British Empire. With her faithful valet by her side, Miss McSkimming must deal with butlers, the police, mysterious men in the shadows, and a hippo. to get to the bottom of what could be her biggest case yet. A rollicking comedy with a chic lady investigator and mysteries abounding, this piece promises to delight audiences young and old. So that's what we're doing, and Andy's scared about the hippo situation, but it's going to be
about
fine.
What about the men in the shadows? Can you do a men in the shadows sound effect?
Shadows are hard to make, Matt. That's not
silence.
Fair.
Yeah. They're hiding.
I just feel like there's going to be a lot of cowbell, but I guess like, that's the only... Like, when I picture what your table's going to look like, I'm like, yeah, just a whole bunch of cowbells,
right? I don't
right?
think we have the budget for a cowbell.
Oh, really? I'll get
it's
you
gonna
one.
It's going to be cutlery and stuff.
Well, so it's on a shoestring as well. Extra
it's always on a shoestring.
Oh, I should probably tell you where it is, and I'll just find that
it's
now.
It's at the
Putney Arts Theatre.
Oh, yeah, you guys know. You guys know better than I do. So, yeah, Putney Arts Theatre on 13th of May, and... You can come and see Andy in all his glory when he's not tucked away inside a tech box.
Yeah, I'll actually be on stage in the light.
Are you nervous about that?
A little bit.
Yeah, you're not really like a stage guy.
No, I haven't been on stage since uni, and that was over 5 years ago now. So.
Have you decided what you're going
to
wear?
All black. I have to hide as much as possible. Just...
You'll be fine.
Well, the jazziest shirt I can find.
Like a weird children's presenter. That's not necessary. Yeah, so that is what the next thing that Blackshaw is doing. Matt, should we dispel some of the things that we were talking about the Oscars just before we wrap up the show?
Yes. What would you like me to dispel now that I have the appropriate information in front of my face?
I think the question of which was the most surprising winner to you.
So, I mean, in terms of things that I think were robbed... So the best.
We're moving away from surprised, and we're moving towards outrage.
Yeah, I was surprised because it shouldn't have won. So original song,
mm-hmm.
La La Land won that, the City of Stars track with Ryan Gosling and Emma Stone.
Yeah,
beat another one from La La Land. It beat the song from Trolls, but it also beat the main theme from Moana. Which I think is a tragedy.
Yeah, and we know that you had a big soft spot for that film last year, didn't you? Was that last year or this year?
It was in the Oscars 2017 voting period.
Let's go with last year. Okay, so you were outraged about that one.
Yeah.
And is that the only outrage?
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the only big upset from my point of view.
It's always
I think
a pretty
the
vanilla
people...
kind of ceremony, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's like,
I think the rest were either pretty deserving or I haven't seen the films and so have to recuse myself from having an opinion.
Yeah, that's fair enough. That's very good of you. Okay, well, that's pretty much the end of the show for this evening. I'd like to thank Andy for coming in and doing some spectacular bird noises.
Are we going to reveal how the bird noise was made, or shall we reveal that in some other channel so that people have to follow us?
We could do that.
Yeah. You can follow us on at blackshoreonline.com or on Twitter at blackshoreupdate.
Yep. And we'll maybe put some tweets out about... I wish I had filmed it now. Oh, man, I really missed a trick there first.
Do photos of different objects around your house and you have to guess which one it is I used.
Oh, that's a good idea. Okay. I love how we're planning our social media on error yet again. If we're not content planning for the actual show we're doing, we're doing the other content for the other channels. So that's fantastic.
Because we spend all our prep time making sure that the actual art is perfect.
Yes.
So some treachery, a Miss McSkimming mystery, is going to be... perfect, and the trade-off you get is that this is a bit rough around the edges.
That is very true. Also, we just like to be efficient, though, Matt. That's what I'm putting it down to.
Yeah,
efficiency. You know, get everything done at the same time. So yeah, that's basically this podcast in a nutshell. But thank you, Andy. We're going to let you know what he was using to make that bird noise. And Matt, thanks once again for coming in and reviewing films as fantastically as you always do.
Anytime.
Can I ask you about what you're going to see next?
I need to double check the release dates because they lie to me all the time.
Yep.
But I'm pretty sure that by the next show I can go see Get Out, which looks amazing.
Cool.
It's the feature film debut by Jordan Peele of Key and Peele.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a horror movie where the monster is white people.
Oh, God. There's a real theme running through this show for 2017, which is racism. Great. Okay, that sounds fantastic. Let's do that maybe next show if the
Provided the stars align and the resources are correct. Yeah.
Which they should do. But thanks, guys. That has been the Black Show Arts Hour for another week. We'll be back in 2 weeks' time. See you later.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.